Hi, I'm Linus Stalander. I'm a postdoc at Stanford University, and in the spirit of the Team Science Conference, I'm presenting something which is collaborated with Woody Powell and Kajsa Snellman, a doctoral student at Stanford. And the title of the presentation is High Risk, High Rewards, Teams, Interdisciplinarity, and Grant Success. And I think most of you are familiar with increased efforts by NSF and NIH to encourage interdisciplinary science. For NIH, we have the Roadmap Initiative, the recognition of multiple PIs. So in spirit of this conference, one of the drivers behind wanting to recognize multiple principal investigators is a strong effort by NIH to recognize team science and interdisciplinary and multidisciplinary science. NSF has done similar kinds of initiatives, such as the Research Center's IGERTS or Office of Multidisciplinary Activities. But the question is, though, and not only for these types of grant funders, is do they practice what they preach? So we ask two simple questions: are interdisciplinary teams more or less successful in obtaining grants, and do award rates vary across sponsoring organizations and over time? First, a short note on how we think about teams and interdisciplinarity. We think that, in the spirit of this conference, that it can be conceptualized in multiple ways. So teams may be composed of individuals from different departments or schools, and also spanning individuals with different academic degrees. So think about a sociologist going on the job market. You can go and get a job at the business school, you can go to sociology department, or perhaps the school of education. And also with a more lab model at medical schools, you can see different kinds of individuals with different educational background working in the same department. So this is the second distinction. And the third distinction that we have is that we think about teams as said, all team members as having a repertoire of references that they've done in the past. So in Woody's case, he's got a big span of references that he cited because he published lots of papers. I have a much smaller bucket. And then we look at the overlap of the references between all team members of the team. So the three team members here with the blue circles represent a team that have lots of agreement on what prior work is important. And to the right, you have a team composed the blue, orange, and the green, with much less agreement on what types of research that you draw upon in your research. The data that we use is from the sponsored research office at Stanford. So the benefit of this office is that they keep a record of all grant applications, so both successful and unsuccessful. The shortcoming is obviously there's only one university. It includes very detailed information on all applicants, where we have very detailed information about the type of degree, when they receive the degree, and so forth. The whole application with the abstract and what they're supposed to do. And also, we've coded all the funding agencies where they apply for grants. So in total, this is about, amounts to 38,000 grants between 1993 and 2008 that we analyzed. And about 8,500 of those involves more than two PIs. We combine this data with all ISI data, dissertation committees from library records, and patent data from USPTO. And what we try to do is that we try to parse out the effect of team composition in terms of the interdisciplinary on the effect of, on the likelihood of obtaining grants when applying for grants. So just to consider this very simple graph first. And I think the legend to the top left corner is kind of important to just think around. And we think about the dashed blue line as being the one that is the most disciplinary, so involving a team with individuals from the same degree, from the same department, increasing to same degree, different department, to the ones that is the most interdisciplinary with different degree, different departments. So in this particular case, it's really that the interdisciplinary teams are quite common over time. So this is the number of grant applications over time, followed by the more disciplinary ones, same degree and same department. And we use this information to predict whether or not they were successful in obtaining grants, including a long range of control variables for year-fixed effects to account for the trends, funder-specific effects first. And a number of factors decrease the likelihood of obtaining a grant. So team members that were from multiple departments had lower likelihood of getting the grants. And team members that have degrees from different fields also had lower likelihood of obtaining a grant. And then there was some good news, prior grant success of the team. So individuals that involved team members, just to give a baseline. So increasing returns loom large. Individuals that have been successful in the past are likely to be successful in the future. And also individuals that bring together researchers, this more creative measure of looking at the amount of overlap between the team members positively affected the likelihood of getting the grant. So while these results in these regressions included founding-specific effects, we were also interested in looking at differences between different sponsoring agencies. So this is shows graph at the award rates, so all the grants that are applied, the percentage that get funding for NIH and NSF. And again, we use the same legends with same degree ranging to same degree, same department, ranging to different degree, different departments. So for NIH, teams with members from multiple departments are favored over teams with members from the same department, so in contrast to their regressions, of course. And for NSF, teams with members from same department are favored over interdepartmental teams. And we have results for all the different funding agencies, but I can show you for the foundation and corporate. So on average, the foundation and the corporate funding have a much higher success rate than NIH and NSF. So for the corporate, if, for example, they have an 88% success rate from 93 to 2000, it goes down to about 66%. And in general, even though you have the highest success rate for getting funding from foundation and corporate funding, they are also the ones that really give funding to disciplinary teams. So we've sort of established that interdisciplinary can have very high risk in getting the grants in the first place, but is it the case that they get more funding? Here in this table, we'll look at same categories again, same degree to same department, down to different degree, different department. And we have different grant sizes from 50,000 to 50 to 250 to 50 to 1 million and above 1 million. So for same degree, same department, they have 86% of the are funded in up to 50,000 K, and it goes down to 30%. Same degree, different department, 82% for the small grants and 35% for the big grants. Different degree, same department, 90% for the small grants, and it goes down to 18. And different degree, different department, and this is quite interesting. They have the lowest success rate for the small grants, but they're also by far the highest success rate for the really big grants, which suggests that even though they are really high risk of interdisciplinary, there also seem to be some kind of rewards. Next, we wanted to think, so what does this mean for the university as a whole and all these people that come together to collaborate on grants? So this is the grant network from Stanford from 2000 to 2007. And what we want to do here is that we want to remove ties between individuals that span the same department and same educational background. So the circles here are individuals, and the small lines between them are collaborations on grants. And the different colors represent the school affiliation at the campus. And you can see that there are a lot of purple dots here, at least the people in the front, and I'm happy to distribute it afterwards. There are a lot of people from the medical school. This is very driven by the med school. There are also lots of people from the engineering, and also quite a few people from natural sciences and social sciences, whereas GSB, they're very well funded, and the law school don't have to apply for external grants to the same extent. So what we do now, this illustration includes all the possible ties at the university. And first, we want to remove the ones that are the most disciplinary until we end up with a picture where all the ties are removed. So here we remove same department, same education, same education, different department, different education, same department, and now, so the only ties that remain now are the different department, different education. And when we remove these ties, the network is obviously going to collapse because nothing is left. But what it really suggests is that these ties of different department, different education are really the ones that are of the highest between a centrality, edge between a centrality, are the ones that connect faculty members at the university. So I think at this stage, I hope that we've established three conclusions, that interdisciplinary teams face many challenges. They have lower likelihood of getting grants, but when they do grants, they typically get a bit bigger grants. And we can also support this in multivariate analysis for those who are interested. There are also huge differences across the grant agencies, and some are more likely to penalize interdisciplinary teams than others. So such as corporate funding, for example, are the ones that typically favor more disciplinary teams. And we also think that these, if you aggregate it up to the university level, we think that interdisciplinary team are really the relational backbone of the broader scientific community at Stanford, and we suspect other universities as well. Thank you so much.